What's up, fam? I'm your host, Jack Sederman. Joining me today, as always, my co-host and longtime best friend, Abe Granoff. Abe, is Joel Embiid's knee on your mind today?
Yeah, well, duh. First and foremost, it's been on my mind for the last week, nonstop, every minute of the day, going to bed at night, waking up, looking at LCL research, but we'll get into that. What's really on my mind today, Jack, is today I learned that there's a different type of human being out there, and they're weird. I spent my Sunday in Hoboken with my brother and sister-in-law, hanging out with my niece. Good family time, watched the Knicks Heat game there. I'm holding my niece, who is now February, March, a little over 3 months old, I think. Maybe two, almost 3 months old. She's being all cute and stuff, just a little baby. Vomits everywhere on my chest. Vomits everywhere. I like jumped, I was startled, and then I was like, oh, whatever, she's a baby, that's what she does. So I come home, I'm on the phone with my mother, and she was like, did you go hang out with the baby today? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, how was it? How cute? I was like, she's adorable, blah, 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 blah. Except she threw up all over me. And my mom goes, aw, I haven't had that joy yet. What? We get joy just because they're babies when they puke on you? I understand the baby's cute and all. Like, cute or not, I don't want someone puking on my chest. And I just learned that, like, I was like, why do you want that? She's like, oh, it's so special when the little baby spits up on you. Said, she didn't spit up. She full on vomited on me. Like, that's not chill. Like, she's got to get out of that phase. So I learned that people enjoy baby vomit on their chest. I, for one, right hand up, not one of those people. Don't think I'll be one of those people tomorrow. Don't think I'll be one of those people when I have my own child eventually. But yeah, baby vomit, regular vomit, prefer it not on my body.
To be fair, you do watch the Sixers throw up all over themselves every single May. So maybe you low-key do like it. And we do like to laugh and point when others throw up on others. So maybe it's not for you, but you don't stay too far away from
vomiting. I didn't think that vomit in the spring is my bread and butter. I didn't think that was the angle in which that you would go with that story. Extremely applicable, so I'll give you props to that one. That was good. But yeah, I guess me and vomiting on people goes hand in hand during the spring.
Well, let's talk about it. We're not going to start with game one. We're going to start with Joel Embiid's LCL. What does LCL stand for? You can't look it up. You can't tell me you're in the lab all day studying his knee.
Something collateral ligament, I believe.
Yeah.
Lateral collateral ligament. It inhibits their ability to move laterally or left to right, is what I've learned.
Well, he doesn't really slide his feet on D, so that means he should be okay. So it's Sunday night when we're recording this. This will go live on Monday morning, the day of game one. You are in what stage of grief right now?
Okay, that's how you want to spin that too. You're being really subtle today.
I'm asking you because yesterday you were in full blown denial. It was honestly insane. Like tweeting, they were literally saying he's not going to play, and you're like, he's playing.
Doubtful to play.
Today they said he's doubtful to play.
They said he was doubtful to play yesterday.
He ain't playing. So tell me why.
Yeah. Sure. So the injury happened supposedly, I want to say last Thursday was game three, maybe 10 days off or something, maybe Friday. No, it was Thursday. It was Thursday. He didn't play game four on Sunday. And on Sunday last week, it was reported by Woj that the injury was labeled as not serious and that he has a chance to play in game one. And then Ramona Shelburne, as of Tuesday, I believe, who I've always said Ramona is one of the most plugged in people in the media, said that the swelling had subsided and he was able to move around a little bit more than he was. And he was starting to feel a little bit better. So then yesterday comes and you don't really hear anything from, let's call it Tuesday to Saturday. Sixers have practice yesterday. Doc goes up to the podium. Before I tell you what Doc said, Jack, let me just ask you a question. If Doc Rivers came to you, you had no idea, like, whatever. He came to you and said, Jack, I have this pick for us tonight. This betting pick. Right off the bat, you'd think you'd be a little skeptical to take Doc Rivers' betting picks. I would be, personally. So Doc Rivers said, if I was a betting man, I would say he's doubtful. Didn't really practice, all this stuff. Whatever. I'm not one to look at Doc's win-loss. I'm not one to look at Doc's win-loss record, units up, units down. All I'm saying is that
it's not Rivers, it's not James Franklin numbers, right?
Right. Right, exactly. All I'm saying with that is if Doc Rivers gave me a betting pick, I wouldn't be the most confident in that betting
but
pick.
But he did hit that.
He didn't hit yet.
I mean, he said if I were betting,
he'll hit if he doesn't
doubtful.
Play. Yeah.
No,
he'll
but
hit if he
said
play.
Joel would be doubtful, and he is listed doubtful. So he did kind of hit that.
Well, no, you have to hit it if he doesn't play.
Got it.
I still think there is a, and you can call it delusion, you can call it a stage of grief. I still firmly in my heart of hearts believe that Joel has a chance to play tomorrow. The reason I think that is because historically, he's been doubtful several times, as you can imagine, prior to a playoff game. He's also played in almost all of those games, including game 3 of Miami last year when we were already down 2-0, came back and we won that game. And I know people are saying, like, even if Joel were to play, right, he's not 100%. It's better than nothing. Joel Embiid's presence on that basketball court is enough to make an impact in the game in the Sixers' favor, whether or not he is 100% the MVP Joel Embiid that we've seen. And then you see clips come out. If what?
If it's a pain management, if it's a no risk of re-injury, right? That's right. Where things change. And I'm not the doctor here, but I would imagine a ligament injury in the knee for a 7'1", 280-pound man probably isn't just a pain tolerance thing. But I actually don't.
But that's
know.
The thing, Jack. I totally agree with you, right? If it was a pain tolerance, simply pain tolerance, I think we're both in agreement Joel would be out there, right?
Yeah.
So that's where I get lost in all these reportings, is because it was reported that all the swelling and everything had gone down. He was starting to feel a lot better. And then it seemed like in the last 48 hours is when things got dark and the quotes started coming out. Everyone's kind of saying something without saying something. And it's just
like, it could have re-swelled. And also, like, you watched Julius Randle at pregame today and it was like, oh, he's going to play. He looks perfectly fine. There's just a different level that you need to be at in the playoffs. So
I think he's a betting man.
Do you want to? But you wouldn't bet.
Well, I know you're hot right now, so I don't want your betting picks in regards to this situation. I've seen the slips, and they're fluorescent green. So please, maybe stick away from this one.
Okay.
Listen, if Joel doesn't play tomorrow, it puts a damper on the series, right? The series price has already gone to -500 in Boston's favor. I'm not going to sit here and say that we can win a series without Joel Embiid against Boston. Like I said, I'm ignorant.
Yeah.
I'm not ignorant to the fact that I am ignorant.
You're saying,
but
you
that's not
to, yet.
Right. But we can win a game without him in this series. It just has to be tomorrow. Like, that's the confidence that you need. You have to go out and win game one against Boston. I think if the Sixers come out tomorrow and they're absolutely flat, you have over a week off, the team doesn't have the energy, and then, like, Joel Embiid not being out there should light a flame under everybody's ass. I think we can go into Boston and take one without Joel Embiid. I've been listening to Celtics podcasts. All I've heard from Celtics fans is they do great against adversity, right, where their backs were kind of against the wall going back to Atlanta in game 6, and they are not great against prosperity or when things are going in their favor. AKA, they have the 3-1 series lead at home. DeJounte Murray's out. And this is not just me saying this. This is Boston fans. This has been a recurring cycle throughout the entire season. You get a close game against them. You've got Joe Mazzulla versus Doc Rivers in late game situations. It could be fun.
What does that mean? What
could
does
be
that
fun.
Mean?
It could be fun. It's who will puke on their chest harder?
Here's Abe's game plan for tomorrow. Fuck it, we ball. And you know
what?
That's
what I'm saying.
You know
what? That's what I'm saying. No. James Harden has played well against Boston this year. Very, very, very well. Tyrese Maxey, not so much.
So you're saying his player points prop of 24.5 might be a little high?
Maxey's is 24.5. I mean, he's going to be chucking. And he got confidence in him at the end of that Brooklyn series. So, listen, I'm not going to sit here and pick the Sixers in a series in which I don't know how many games Joel is going to play. What I am going to do is say that we can very well win game one in Boston tomorrow without Joel. We can very well win game one with Joel. And I think, call me crazy, but I saw you tweet this today, Jack. Win or lose tomorrow, 7-game series are long. They are long.
So long.
Just because you go into Boston tomorrow and you're a 10.5-point dog and you lose, doesn't mean the series is over, right?
Let me give more context to that tweet, though.
Sure.
Seven game series are long, which favors the better team. Now, if your belief is that Joel Embiid will be back game two and you're the better team, then they're long.
That is
my belief. Then if others, let's say others listening or Philly fans, believe that Boston's the better team and Joel Embiid won't be back till 3 or 4, then it could be a short series. What's the scheduling of this series? Game two would be Wednesday,
Every other day. No break. Until game seven. You're kidding. Every other day. Swear.
Do you know when game three of the Knicks series is? One was Sunday. Two will be on Tuesday. Yeah, it jumps to Saturday.
Yeah, so we've Jimmy got every
and,
other
and Julius's ankles will be well elevated by
that. That was the discussion that I've put out there. It was like, did I want Boston to finish out in five so the series would start earlier and play yesterday, and Joel definitely wouldn't have played, but he would have had up until game two, which would have been tomorrow, and then up until Thursday for game three, which would have been another 3 days. Or do you want to give the big fella rest up until the series? But I've said enough. I think Joel is going to play tomorrow in my heart of hearts. I pray he does. I don't think this is a series, in my opinion, regardless. But going into game one tomorrow,
you don't. If Joel was out for the series, you would.
We don't have a chance to win.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
We don't have just a chance to win. Clear. I don't think he's going to, and I don't think anyone does. But I do want to hear your thoughts on the series. Albeit, let's say Joel plays tomorrow. Joel doesn't play, but is back game two. Joel doesn't play games one and two. What do you think?
I don't know if he'll be back game two. You're talking a lot about game one. Could Philly win the game? Obviously, it's a game of basketball. It's a round ball that bounces four times on Sundays. And I think that but what it sounds like from you is that if they lose game one, then they're in serious trouble. Like, you're not really talking game two. Now, game two is not up, so that might be the reason. But if they go down 2-0 and Joel is not 100%. I already have Boston winning the series. I think the odds kind of indicate that. It's a long series, though. Maybe he'll be back. I just don't know if he'll be back. It's a knee. It's like a face is different. An ankle, a rolled ankle is different. A knee, ligament. But hey, he played through the meniscus, right? So I guess there's some hope. I would get it out of your head, and I would get it out of the Sixers players' heads ASAP. He's not playing tomorrow. There's no shot he plays tomorrow.
Remember when De'Aaron Fox a few games ago was listed as doubtful a day before
the
game?
He was. It was a finger, though. And
it
was a – and what game was it? Game five, I think? Game five or game six? I think it was game five. So – this game, it was similar to how Heat fans are now talking about our series, is, you know what, pack it up, shoot 43s and see what happens, but let's not burn it here, because if he re-injures it, we're dead. If Joel plays and he looks good and we lose, well, then what do we do? You know, where do we go from there? So I don't think he'll play, but I hope he does. I think, you know, for basketball, it'll be a better series. Let's move to the Bockers. Game one goes down. Knicks up 11 after the first quarter, up 5 at half, and then just got smoked down the second half. Did not shoot the ball well, did not handle the ball well, barely rebounded the ball well. For all those people who are in the camp of, you know, the Knicks are better without Julius Randle, no, they're not. They're better at times when Obi Toppin's on the floor. But when Obi Toppin's taking up 35 minutes and has to share the floor with Josh Hart and RJ Barrett, they're in trouble because they can't space and shoot. So I'm actually genuinely not worried. And that's not even with the Butler's ankle coming into the picture. I think Julius will be back for game three. He has pretty much an entire week of rest to get there. It sounds like Butler's probably not going to play in game two, or if he does, he won't be 100%. The Knicks should be able to win that game, and then it's 1-1. I really do not buy, like, the home court advantage of Miami, like, stealing one. Like, it's not out of the realm of possibilities that we can go to Miami and win one game. No. And once you win that one game, the series is flipped back, and you got home court advantage. So obviously would have loved to win game one, but the panic button is far from being hit. And I'll say this. I'll say this. I don't even think game two is a must win. That's how confident I am.
Without now, Jimmy Butler?
Without, well, yes. If Jimmy doesn't play, you could frame it as a must win.
It's 1,000% a must win.
It's not. It's not. Okay. That's what I'm saying. It's not. That's how confident I am that
I
if
can tell.
And when Julius Randle comes back, we're the better team. Could they make shots and we can miss shots in 4 of the 7 games? Obviously. Could Jimmy go ballistic one game? Could, you know, it was Lowry and Vincent today. Could it be Robinson and Strus on Tuesday? And absolutely, that's how Miami wins games. Bam could have 31 night, a triple-double. I'm not naive to that. But I'm not sitting here where if I were the Suns, we'll move to the Suns. If I'm the Suns, I'm concerned. I don't really see the answer for Phoenix because of the way they play. They get outscored by 30 points in game one from the three-point line, and they just don't shoot threes. They attempted 15 threes. The Nuggets shot like 30-something threes. I don't see a path back for the Suns. They have no depth. Kevin Durant had 15 in the first quarter. Devin Booker had 15 in, you know, a quarter and a half in the second half. DeAndre Ayton had 14 in the first half. And it wasn't competitive. And like, it was close, but at no point did it look like the Suns were ever going to win that game. Jokic played well. Murray obviously played super, super well late. But Porter Jr. didn't score in the second half. And Gordon shot the ball really well. Gordon shot the ball. So, I don't know. Did you watch that game?
Can I comment on the Knicks? Is that allowed?
Am I allowed to comment on the Knicks heat?
Thank you. I appreciate it. This game kind of went the way that I think the entire series is going to go. When you look at the Knicks and the Heat, they both have stars, but it's not a series like Denver and Phoenix where it's built on star power, right? And who's ever going to win this series, in my opinion, is game by game. It's going to be outside of Brunson, Randall, Butler. Mm-hmm. Which team's role players are going to step up? And today, it was Miami. However, the one cause for concern the one glimmer of hope that I think Knicks can leave with today is obviously the Butler injury. That's what they can hold on to.
That's not true.
What I'll counter with is losing game one in the fashion that you did is worrisome, in my opinion, because you know what they say, role players at home. And it was the role players on the road for the Heat today. That's kind of how I view it. Who's ever role players show up in game two, that's probably who wins the game. And I think that's who wins every series. But that's what the series comes down to. For me, it's not let's keep Jimmy Butler below 40 points and then we'll win every game. It's keep the other guys below 15 points every game and then you'll win. Like I think I'm fine with Jimmy going to get 45 against us. It's can you make sure Gabe Vincent's 2 of 8 from three? Can you make sure Duncan Robinson is 0 of 4 from three? Can you make sure Kyle Lowry has 8 points in the fattest butt on the court? And those are stats. That's kind of where it is. And today it was Gabe Vincent and it was Kyle Lowry. And I don't have enough faith in the Knicks role players compared to the Heat, based off experience and just that in general, to the point where I think that the Knicks can win this series. If Jimmy Butler didn't get hurt today and the Heat won the way they did, I would be sitting here saying the Knicks have a very hard uphill battle to win this series. But because of the situation that did occur today and the predicament that the Heat are in with Jimmy Butler and his ankle, I think we're right back to where this series started, in my opinion, in that it's a coin flip.
Yeah, it's a coin flip by the odds. I hear you on the role players on the road versus at home. RJ Barrett was fairly good today.
RJ Barrett was fairly good.
I just think it's – I don't know if it's just a Knicks thing. I don't know if it's Randall in the playoffs
They're your boys. Don't
– No. I'm saying, like, you know, when Giannis is out – and trust me, Randall is nowhere on the Giannis level. But to your point,
wasn't Randall horrible last series when he did play?
Yeah. He's been horrible in every playoff series of his career too. But you're pretty much saying like, yeah, Butler's out or hurt, the series is over, right? Like if Butler were out for the series, would you ever pick the Heat? They could still win some games, but you'd probably be rolling with the Knicks.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Same with Embiid, right? We're talking about Embiid. I understand he's not, he doesn't play to that level in the playoffs, but like Julius Randle will be back, I think.
For sure.
And he's the second best player on the team. Like, that's a huge fucking loss and a huge gain when he comes back. So I just don't think that's accounted for enough. But it's brutal, these playoffs. Embiid's hurt, Butler, Randle. I'm sure everybody there's other else. People. Yeah, day-to-day Davis, I'm sure, is not making it through seven games of Draymond Green flopping around. But, all right, answer my question. Any concern for the Suns? Or you just chalk that up to game one?
I chalk it up to game one against the one seed on the road in their building, and that's going to happen. That's what the odds indicated. To your point about they don't shoot threes and KD played well, like the Suns know who they are and everyone knows who the Suns are. They're going to kill you with their star power at the top. It's going to be 40 from Booker, 30 from Kevin Durant, and then 6 and 7 here from Josh Okogie and other people. And if Booker and Durant aren't getting these efficient 30-point games, then they're probably burnt toast in this series. But that's my point.
Even if they are, right? Let's stack points, right? Let's try. Because Denver, whether you like Jokic or not, whether you think he can play defense, a Jokic-led offense is putting up 110-plus points a game. Because the Suns aren't an elite defense by any stretch, even with Durant playing really well defensively last night. So how does Phoenix get to 110? Give Booker 35. Give Durant 35. You're at 70. Find me 40 more points. Chris Paul gets 15. Ayton gets 15. You're still only at 100 points. So now between Landry Shamet, Okogie, and Torrey Craig, you need another 10 points. And that's only if you limit to Denver to 110. And that's if you can get 35 a pop from those two stars. It's just a lot to ask for. And the reason why, you want to know the reason why I'm confident betting Steph Curry's overs, besides the fact he's like,
watch him.
Literally the fucking watch greatest him. Player ever. And why I'm confident betting Jimmy Butler's unders in a game.
Three-pointers versus not.
Exactly. And that's literally the difference between Phoenix and Denver. It just was like Durant layup. Think about this. Durant layup, Durant layup, Durant layup. KCP three. The game is tied. You just need one less possession. And it's worth, 50% more. It's a huge, huge edge. So I just do not. Like, I think they would have lost the Clippers series if Kawhi and Paul George were playing. So I think they skated by there. And I've got Denver winning the series. Could it go 7? Sure. But I just think, once again, over time, I like Denver in the series.
Kawhi Leonard was healthy after game one. Russell Westbrook was healthy after game one. The Clippers won game one. And I think everyone there was still like, let's wait on Phoenix. Like, that's kind of how I view it last night. Last night was a loss, and I could easily see Phoenix come out and win the next four because they have Kevin Durant and Devin Booker and Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton. And it's as simple as that.
Chris Paul's my guy, but Chris Paul ain't that guy anymore. DeAndre Ayton is also. Did you see the clip last night of him? Yeah. That was crazy.
I'm pumping the brakes on the Phoenix are done.
I don't need to bury them. There's obviously no interest in going that route and 0.0-ing them, but I do think that that's the uphill battle. That's what I'm saying. If you're the Knicks, you see the path. Like you said, you just laid it out. I'm asking you, Abe, what is the path for Phoenix?
Go be Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. That's good enough for me.
That's the problem.
Kevin Durant had 7 turnovers. Is that going to happen every game?
He did.
7 turnovers. They lost the turnover battle 16-9. It's like if it was the reverse of that, the inverse, and Phoenix won 16-9, do they win by 12? I don't think they lose by 18.
I just don't know who on Phoenix is forcing those turnovers. Like, they're really bad defensively.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Yeah, of course, if Aaron Gordon doesn't hit – 3 or 4 threes, that's a huge difference in the game. But I really Denver team.
I'll tell you one thing. There's a similar similar landscape in the East and the West right now. Winner of Philly-Boston goes to the NBA Finals. Winner of Lakers-Warriors is going to the NBA Finals. We just saw Steph put up 50 in a Game 7. We saw the Grizzlies get – Dylan Brooks, you wanted 40. well, there's your 40. You lost by 40 in game six. So I feel the same way that whoever wins this Warriors-Lakers series, which kind of kills me inside because I kind of think the Warriors are going to win, is going back to the finals. Yeah.
I'm going to go on record and disagree with that statement.
Well, not the Eastern Conference part of it.
No, I genuinely believe that the Nuggets have a very, very good chance to get to the NBA Finals. But it's game one. No one's being buried yet. No one's burying the Knicks. No one will bury the Sixers. Definitely will not bury the loser of Golden State. Dude, you should –
Sixers Twitter right now
is – Yeah, what's their vibe?
You want to know what their vibe is? The Sixers Twitter account. Well, I mean, I sent you the photo of Joel Embiid smiling in the huddle. I said, are you really smiling if you're not going to play tomorrow? Like, that's the vibe on Twitter right now. Looking into every single detail, the Sixers Twitter account tweeted this, like, business tripping or whatever. You've got people zooming in on him.
Who's the picture? It's of Joel.
It was Harden. You've got people zooming in on him before. Is that Shake? Is that Joel? Who is that? Unfortunately, investigative journalism led me to believe that the blue jumpsuit that person is wearing is Nike, and Embiid is an Under Armour guy, so that doesn't bode well. But Sixers Twitter right now is...
Oh, you don't even think he's going to fly?
Pressurized cabins, you know what they say. Yeah. First off, if he wasn't flying there, like, they would rule him out right now. He wasn't flying there.
I mean, I think the only... yeah, he could. Who did that? Someone did that in the NFL this year. They drove
somebody
like
afraid of planes.
No.
It was someone on the Falcons or whatever that drove back because their wife was in labor, and then they came back for the playoff game. It was something
No, some player in the past drove because he could not fly due to the pressure. I think it was like a rib or his chest or something.
Maybe Ryan Clark with his sickle cell stuff.
No.
Eagleson, look that up, and if we're wrong and this isn't a thing, just make up a name.
I know for a fact it was a thing.
Okay.
I know for a fact. Who was it, though? All right, so Golden State wins game 7 against Sacramento. Stephen Curry, how many points did he drop? Was it
50?
Clean 50? Mm-hmm. 50 points. There's numbers out there, mostly presented by Barry McConaughey. There's been numbers out there on Steph Curry in game sevens. He had never missed a free throw until today, but there's been other numbers that had shown he wasn't as clutch in game sevens. He had faltered late in the playoffs. Well, not today. 50 points it was a Curry game. If you're Sacramento, you know, you like that you extended the series to seven because anything can happen in game seven. Unfortunately, the thing that happened in game seven was Stephen fucking Curry. Just special performance. So shout out to the Kings.
I want to stop you there for the Kings. I'm talking to the Sacramento Kings right now, looking the fan base and them in the eye. Do not accept this year as progress. Please do not fall into the category where they say to themselves back in the locker room, back in Sacramento, we just took one of the greatest dynasties ever, seven games. We haven't made the playoffs in 20 because, Jack, the last thing I want the Kings to do if they're trying to actually build on this is just accept, like, you know what? This is the core that we need. Let's run it back and not kind of make any moves, just making marginal moves because they're happy with the success that they had this year. I can see a ton of complacency coming into the Kings this offseason for the sole fact of how special this year was for them and how much this year probably meant for them, for their fan base, for LED lights that shoot up into the sky, to the point where there's like, let's do it again. You know what? We've got a year under Mike Brown's system, year two, everyone will come back better, stronger, and it'll be the same thing. That's how you lead yourselves into the play-in tournament next year if you're Sacramento. And that's why
I'm going to disagree with you again. I thought you were maybe taking the angle of don't convince yourself you're a piece away and trade like
that's
a bunch
kind
of guys
the angle pick. I'm going for.
Like Atlanta, you know, with the DeJounte trade, like thinking that these are the pieces, but you just need one more to fit in.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that's necessary. Like they got young, good pieces. Now they're not a championship team, but I don't see any reason why they couldn't be back. Not at the 2-seed, but back deep, you know, into the playoffs.
I guess you're right. I guess what I am saying is don't think that you're a DeJounte Murray away. Don't go throw out all your assets for a a lower tier quote unquote star who could be half in, half out, a Gobert type deal, DeJounte Murray type deal. Because again, you need to look yourselves in the face and say, we are the Kings. So when a deal is looking good later this offseason and somebody comes available, like, I'm trying to think who would be a perfect example.
But, well, let me ask you, what if they could get a star and all it took was like Davion?
They're not a Bradley Beal away. They're not.
I would have said they're like not too far away if Sabonis hadn't played like such a bitch in the playoffs. Like, that's also the Warriors, and I think there is a lot to take away. I think, you know, people asked about the Cavs. Was it a failure this season? If Philly loses, it's a failure of a season. Even though they lost the playoffs, you know, in the playoffs, this is a successful season. We can't deny that. The progress was made. But I'm with you. If they add a Bradley Beal, I don't think that I'm talking, ooh, Sacktown, I'll see you in June. Right. So I would stay with the core for another year and see, like, who kind of takes that leap. Is Keegan Murray a top five pick that kind of jumps to that next level? Can Monk sustain this and be a sixth man of the year? Is Kevin Huerter actually good or not? No. You know, there's some questions to be asked, but I think a snaps and
for sure I'll we go can get hot, snaps.
I'll go hot take for all the people who are going to tweet. It's okay. We'll be back. I think the Kings will be back into the playoffs next year. I think they have a good enough squad that can get it done. And at least until someone adjusts the way they play, like they just shoot the shit out of the ball, and that's you can win a lot of games that way because no one wants to play any defense. So. Shout out to the Kings, but it does lead us to, hopefully not, but definitely a good chance, the last time we'll get the Stephen Curry versus LeBron James rivalry in the playoffs.
I think a rivalry entails the other side winning as well.
Bron
That's why
won
people
one.
Talk about he Celtics Sixers one. Rivalry, and Joel's like, they just beat our ass every time. What's their rivalry?
Bron got the biggest one, so yeah, he's Bron got one. Curry's got the others, or the Warriors do. Their experience showed in Game 7 against the Kings. There's no doubt about that. Kevon Looney is probably like the Dennis Rodman of this dynasty now. I mean, he had a double-double of rebounds. 10 offensive and 10 defensive. Never seen that before. Who you got? Warriors have home court. They're the higher seed. Who do you got?
All I want to do in this series, it'll start at 10:30 every single night, or 10:40 if it's on ESPN. Can we just please limit the amount of gluck gluck that we show on camera between LeBron and Draymond? That's all.
I'm not worried about that.
The amount of talking like this with the shirt over their nose, with the extreme daps, the handshakes, the big hugs, jogging away from each other. Ugh, it's so toxic, that type of... what's the word I'm looking for? Bromance that these two have. It's disgusting. I said it before the playoffs started. I was like, if Wiggins is back, could the Warriors actually like do this shit again? And I mean, Steph just had 50, right? And you never know day in and day out where Anthony Davis is going to be. I think that the Lakers are athletic enough to move around the perimeter with the Warriors, and they have that type of pedigree to the point where they can switch and they can send different looks at Steph and everything. It's gonna come down to Anthony Davis. He's gotta be 30 and 15 every game, in my opinion, for them to have a chance. And then whose role players are gonna hit shots? Jordan Poole was horrible in this series. Austin Reeves was spectacular for the Lakers. You've got 31 from D'Lo in the closeout game. So it's outside of Steph, LeBron, and AD, like, can Clay be efficient? Draymond's obviously going to have his foot on everyone's chest in this series. And I'm riding with LeBron, man. I'm riding with LeBron. I think with no KD on the other side of that team, he doesn't see fear in these Warriors like he used to. Like, there's no sense of fear. I'm going to go with the Lakers.
I assume you're going to say no. But is there any legacy? I don't want to say altering. Like, I don't think anything comes out of this series where, like, oh my God, Curry stamped himself as top five, or oh my God, LeBron finally got an even team against the Warriors, the end of their dynasty and ended them, you know, the heroics of that. But is there anything more than, you know, it's a really entertaining second round playoff series?
I don't think in this series that there's anything more to it, but where I thought you were going with it is if the Warriors somehow did this again, Steph got five, there's a dialogue that needs to be had at some point. Like a real, what? Real dialogue.
What? Whoa, what's that dialogue?
Bah! I'm just saying, if he gets a second finals by himself, finals MVP, I'm not going to be the one
Warriors,
to start it.
Because the Warriors, it's funny. It's like you can't decide, are their pieces really good or are they really not good?
Complimentary.
Like, is he carrying them or are they perfectly built for him? You know, it is a complicated situation. Maybe it's both. If Curry goes through LeBron, takes out the Nuggets or the Suns.
If Curry goes through LeBron, KD, and then Embiid.
He's not the GOAT. But I will say, you know, we love the year 20 and 38-year-old LeBron. Curry's like 35, and it doesn't get talked about. Like, he's doing this at a really old age for what is considered
probably
like,
his best. Yeah, know, as a point guard too, an aging point guard as well. I'm excited for this series. It sucks that it's always going to be at 10 o'clock on the East Coast or whatever, but this is going to be a fun one. It's kind of going to give us 2000 babies some nostalgia. I feel like
I would almost say, you know, we're talking about legacy, and we're like, it's probably not going to affect. If you want the legacy conversation, go on Twitter. Every play is going to be under a microscope about how this affects each player's legacy. If you are if you have a hard stance on LeBron or Curry, don't go on Twitter. You will be miserable.
No,
because it is
do
going
and
to
get
be
in the mix.
Painful.
Get involved. Get active.
So painful.
Jack's Kermit the Frog. Right. I'm Kermit the Frog with a hood on. Don't go on Twitter. Go on Twitter.
All right. That's the NBA playoffs as they stand heading into the month of May, the fun month of the NBA playoffs. Let's talk NFL draft. First of all, shout out to our guys in the draft series. All have found a home.
Let's read off a list. I think we have a list here.
Yeah,
We've got Clifford going to the Packers. We've got Caleb Murphy to Tennessee, I believe. Let me just bring it up so I don't botch it one more time.
We had two Seattle. Boykin was at
so
Seattle.
Sean Clifford to the Green Bay. Caleb Murphy as an undrafted free agent to the Titans. Lance Boykin as an undrafted free agent to Seattle. Mike Morris out of Michigan was drafted to Seattle as well. And Tyler Scott, the wide receiver from Cincinnati, is headed to Chicago. So the bump does its thing, as per usual. These guys have an uphill battle, some of them, as undrafted free agents. But while they have the odds against them, probably they have the bump for them. And if you're going into a training camp, that's as confident as you could be looking around to your fellow rookie classes. So snaps for the 2023 snapback draft class.
Yes. And shout out Sean Clifford, fifth round pick for the Packers. Some are calling him the pale Aaron Rodgers, just saying. But let's talk about who has the best odds of being a Philadelphia Eagle. Anyone who has a scholarship to the University of Georgia, the Philadelphia EA, Georgia A. How do you spell Eagles?
The
Eagles.
The Eagles Twitter account, as of right now, the bio says Philly Georgia Bull Eagles or Georgia Delphia Eagle Dogs. So that's where we're at right now. The Eagles draft.
Oh, when's the Eagles NFC Championship rings come out?
So the Eagles draft Jalen Carter in the first round, Nolan Smith in the first round. They get Kelly Ringo in the third round, I believe,
Keeley.
The cornerback.
Keeley
Ringo. Very lasso. Keeley.
Yeah.
And then they go ahead and Howie Roseman trades a fourth round pick for DeAndre Swift. I genuinely think that Howie Roseman, the organization, is officially just leaning into the bit. Like they weren't in on Swift, found out he went to Georgia and said, fuck it, send a fourth. Let's just have some fun with this. I'm all for it. You've got a running back room now of DeAndre Swift, Rashad Penny, Trey Sermon, Kenneth Gainwell, all this stuff. It just shows that the Eagles are a good organization. They've got five running backs, albeit DeAndre Swift is probably good, if not better than Miles Sanders when he's healthy, for like $6 million, and Miles Sanders is making $5 million. Howie Roseman has shut me up time and time again, and if you've got a healthy DeAndre Swift in this lineup, a Philly boy, born and raised in Philadelphia, coming back with his Georgia Bulldogs, I mean, the Georgia-Delphia Bull Eagles are forced to be reckoned with in the NFC this year. So I, for one, as an Eagles fan, and as well as Eagles Twitter, was ecstatic at what Howie Roseman did this week, because that's what Sixers Twitter was happy about, is that Howie kind of took our attention away from what was going on. Now that the draft has kind of subsided, you know, we're zooming in on little photos and looking for Nike and Under Armour logos. You got to make a trade
at like 6 p.m. tomorrow to really
the Eagles. I need the Eagles to get D-Hop by like 7:29 tomorrow. And we'll be straight.
Yeah, I think a fun weekend for the Eagles, without a doubt. A series of moves that it's hard to be against them. And I think some of them will probably work out. Could we nitpick and be like, yeah, but DeAndre Swift and Rashad Penny are super injury prone? Of course. Could you, like, of course.
That's the thing I was thinking about, was like, let's look at every year's draft class statistically. And let's say, like, Ohio State sends 5, Bama sends 5, Georgia sends 6. Statistically,
mm-hmm.
How many of those guys from one college, albeit on different teams, are going to hit? I think Howie Roseman kind of like rolled the dice and said, like, Georgia has a 75% clip of hitting, so let's just draft all of them and one of them will be bad, rather than trying to get cute and say, like, oh, let's pick this guy from the Pac-12. Let's get this guy from the Big Ten. So it could be chess versus checkers. All I know is that there are going to be a lot of Georgia jerseys in Lincoln Financial Field, and I am officially, I know I was a Bama plus money guy, I am officially declaring my stance as Georgia football fan.
Well, good luck to you next season, because Bama plays Texas early and that's a quick L. So it's good to get off that train as you can. Let's go to our internet graphic of the week, because we're staying in the draft. Name a rookie fantasy sleeper coming out of the draft. Before we do that, I do want to give a shout out to Will Levis. What did you think of his celebration of getting drafted? It was a little
so I
fiery.
Saw the clip without audio. Was there audio involved? What did he say?
I think he screamed. Yeah,
like,
I think
fuck you, all the other 31 teams.
It's what it looks like.
Yeah. I'm cool with it. He got drafted. Like, it seemed like it was more of a fuck you to everybody else, more than like celebrating in the moment, which was a little bit weird. But I said it before and I'll say it again. Like, rare times in history do these guys that are quote unquote supposed to go top that drop all the way. They're dropping for a reason, is what I'm going to say about Will Levis. And the team that took a chance on the guy that was dropping last year took the chance on the guy that's dropping this year in the Tennessee Titans with Malik Willis and with Will Levis. This is obviously going to light a fire under his ass. What did you make of Levis not going back to the green room on night 2? Because there was
have a hotel.
There was a big conversation because, like, Geno Smith went back, Darius Slay went back, DK Metcalf went back when they were invited. And it's like walking across that stage is kind of special. I think the funniest part of an old clip resurfaced this weekend saying Levis would not go to the draft if he knew he wasn't going to be guaranteed round one.
I think his agent screwed him. I would not be surprised. I think he believed that too. And his agent probably said, hey, we got you lined up in the top 15. You're looking at 4. You're looking at 2. Because, you know, he's getting that information from teams. And they're going to tell him because he knows the agent's going to tell people. And that's how that stuff travels. But, I don't care that he didn't go back. I wouldn't have gone back. ESPN
I would have.
There
was probably
him.
Free food.
Yeah. Yeah. And as far as his reaction, it is a light a fire under my ass reaction. It is an FU to those other 31 teams. You got to do something with it. So I'm now rooting for him to go and be great. I would have no problem with him being awesome. So who is a fantasy sleeper for you?
What do you have to be to categorize as a sleeper?
I would say, like, you can't pick Bijan Robinson.
I was gonna pick Jahmyr Gibbs.
I mean, he's like gonna go in the top 5 rounds of a lot of drafts. Some people. All right,
you know what? Let's be nice. Let's go with Zay Flowers. Okay. Why not? I think he's automatically coming in and being the wide receiver 1 in Baltimore this year. OBJ's needs. Walmart, Mecole Hardman coming off an injury last year, and Rashad Bateman. And, you know, Lamar's got that vertical threat that he needs now, a little Hollywood Brown 2.0. Maybe he's better than Hollywood Action. From all indications, it sounds like the Ravens offense is going to be look a whole lot different this year just based off scheme, right? Because Greg Roman leaves.
Greg Roman.
And you can bring in the new. Speaking of which, is that Georgia guy want to change his fucking mind? Come work with your boys.
You need a coordinator, right? You need a coordinator.
It's like, so I'm going to go with Zay Flowers. You got Lamar excited. He's got OBJ's mentorship. I'll be nice to Jack. I'm just throwing good karma out there because 24 hours from now, I'm going to be a fucking wreck.
Did you draft anyone on the offensive side of the ball? I was going to try and return.
We drafted a quarterback.
You did?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Should we talk about the Jalen Hurts hot seat?
I don't know, man. I don't know. We drafted the Stanford quarterback who's got a real fucking, country club name. I got to find him.
Okay.
Where did you go?
My fantasy sleeper.
Tanner McKee.
Tell me
that's not a fucking lacrosse player.
Yeah, it probably was at some point in time. My fantasy sleeper, I gotta look a little bit more, I'm not gonna lie. I'll go with Roschon Johnson out of Texas. He got drafted to the Bears, and I'm gonna say he's gonna be
what
their
position
goal
does
line
he play?
Back.
Okay.
He's a running back. He was Bijan's backup, but I think he's gonna make for a really solid pro
like
running
a Jamal
back.
Jamal Williams bigger. Type guy?
That's what I'm saying. I think he'll score maybe 8 or 10 touchdowns. They've got Khalil Herbert, who's really good, and then they've got a second guy. But I think he's probably an injury away from being that Jamal Williams type. And so I'll give a shout to Roschon.
Can I throw out one more out there? I fell in love with this guy this week. Jonathan Mingo, the receiver from Ole Miss who got drafted.
That was
going to
be my guy.
Once they said AJ Brown 2.0, I was like, yeah, I'm fucking in. And then I watch a lot of Bryce Young content this weekend. He's just really cute, in my opinion. He's saying the right stuff. He's got a nice voice to him. He's always smiling. Yeah. I like Bryce Young after what I saw this week.
Yeah, I'm excited. I like root for all these young guys to be good, unless they're drafted in the division and like even
yeah,
then.
I don't root for the guy from Michigan, Mazzy. Forget his name.
He's a D lineman. You're never gonna know if he's making an impact.
If I do, that's.
But you don't root against. You don't root against Micah Parsons because he wants.
Well, that guy. That guy is just. Did anyone this weekend want to be an Eagle more
than?
Wait,
shouldn't he be the cuck of the week?
Perfect. Perfect intro into cuck of the week. I've got two cucks of the week. The first goes out to Micah Parsons, who was actually in tears on Adam Lefko's show with AJ Brown over the weekend when the Eagles drafted Jalen Carter. Can only imagine what he was feeling like when the Eagles traded for DeAndre Swift as well. I mean, the writing's been in the sand. He's always loved talking about the Eagles. He was an Eagles fan, I believe. He grew up in Pennsylvania. Micah, we've got room. We've got room for sure. Come through. My second cuck of the week goes out to Eagles fans specifically because goddamn parts of this draft were torture. Whosever fucking brainiac idea it was to have the draft in the city of the reigning Super Bowl champions should be fired immediately. The draft is for teams that are never going to have that type of prosper, right? That are never going to have those types of events. The bar revenues aren't going to be out the ass because they don't play deep into the postseason. The draft should be in somewhere like Miami. Sick location, not a lot of promise for their football program. That's where the draft needs to be. Detroit, Cleveland, those types of areas. Don't put it in the Super Bowl, reigning Super Bowl champion city because, you know, Jack, I actually thought for a little while after it subsided like 2 months ago that I was getting over the Eagles Super Bowl loss. When the draft started and they introed Mahomes and Kelsey and they were bukkakeing that trophy together on stage, licking it up and down, doing sexual motions with it, it was like someone took a rusty knife, made a tiny little incision in my chest, didn't really put it in other than like a quarter of an inch, and just started wiggling it around. So that just the hot freaking blade messed with the blood. It was such torture. And they wouldn't take the camera off of Mahomes and Kelsey making out with this trophy. And I thought I was over it. And then I actually on Thursday night, like got teary-eyed watching them have this trophy. And then later in the draft, you got Chiefs fucking superfan James Droz announcing a pick, and he just has to throw some salt in the wound in my stomach with Philadelphia Eagles. What happened? That was funny and applicable in February. You don't need to bring it back out at the draft. It was just torture watching the amount of Super Bowl content that they had in Kansas City this week. And it felt like watching your wife be with another man. It really did. My wife being the trophy, the Lombardi trophy. It was torture.
Take some time after the pod. Go look at the responses to Travis Kelce. They're calling him Walmart Gronk. They're saying he's a little childish, chugging beers, 30 years old.
Pay less Dalton Kincaid is what I like to call him.
My cuck of the week is an easy one. Grizzlies, and I think Ja accepted it. Dylan Brooks accepted it. It's not really this. I almost give the Grizzlies a lot of credit for the laughs should have been bigger. It actually should have been like an all-time Twitter thing where people were just piling on. I don't know if enough people cared, but you get the Ja saying, "We're fine in the West." You got Dylan Brooks doing whatever the hell he did. The most unlikable team goes out to LeBron's team in six games. And, yeah, the Grizzlies, you can't talk all that trash and not win a playoff series. I know the injuries. They are a good team. If they were healthy, that series is more competitive. I'm not even saying they're going to win it. It's more competitive. But the Grizzlies overall, you are our cuck.
They probably got humbled pretty quickly. But you said one thing that Ja's kind of dealing with it and Dylan Brooks is kind of dealing with it. Bullshit. I'll commend Ja for getting up on the podium, and he got asked about the fine in the West comments. He's like, "Yeah, I said it. I know I'm going to have to deal with it. Fine. That's whatever." And then he literally said a lot of my off the court distractions probably played a role. He took responsibility there too. Who didn't take fucking responsibility to the tune of a $25,000 fine is that gross-looking Dylan fucking Brooks, who just skips media sessions every time his little team loses. He's an unrestricted free agent now, and I hope he likes China. That's how I feel about him. Trash.
I love that China's become the new thing, and Cancun too. Like, yeah. It's so clear, the jokes now. It's like, you suck, you go to China.
You lose in the playoffs, you go to Cancun. Which is a pretty good gig. Imagine you have to lose and go to China. That would suck.
Think about, well, Dylan Brooks does after Cancun, but think about the marketing that's done for Cancun. Like, because players
Sandals
actually
Cancun
are now,
is probably lit. Like, you think Sixers fans are probably in February looking every May into, like, maybe I'll go see Joel on the beach or something. And they're booking flights ahead.
Monday just mailbag from
stock
Condad
up to the Cancun economy.
In the Discord said, "Not a question, but I hate being a Grizzlies fan." I feel
you should. You should. Hey, what's the shout out? Do we have a name on that guy?
Condad.
Condad. Here's newsflash. Unless you're a Warriors fan, chances are you hate your team, like in the last 10 years.
That's fair. Yeah. All right, here we go. This is a big moment. This is big. You gotta show love for this. Everyone, get on your feet.
Get on
right
your feet,
now,
baby. Let's
for the
go,
first
baby.
Time in his lifetime. The Toronto Maple Leafs are playing in the second round. They went in overtime. The captain, the promise was kept. The yes. pajamas paid off. 30 years of John Tavares' life to deliver this championship first round victory to the city of Toronto. And he delivered. The GOAT scored in game six. His team's different, Eagleson. Torrey Holt was out of the lineup. There were sandpaper all over the place. I don't know. who's your boy? Who's your boy?
The
that
boy that
did?
Played receiver
Justin
on the
Hall.
The St. Louis Rams.
Justin
Torrey
Hall.
Holt?
Justin Hall.
Dude,
out
you
of
got
lineup.
The front line, the Leafs front line of Torrey Holt, Mark Brunell, and Marshall Faulk.
Yeah,
Marshall
yeah.
Faulk is something to behold.
But the Leafs did it, Eagleson. I'll shut
man.
Up and listen. Talk us through. How are you feeling?
I mean, I just wanted to play this quickly. Where were you April 29th, everyone? Just fucking remember it, because the Leafs went to the second round. The second round of the playoffs. Abe was talking to me before the episode started. He asked me, when does the series start for Boston or Florida? I said, I have no fucking clue. I've never been here, but I'm so goddamn excited. I don't even know what to do with myself. I'm the biggest Florida Panthers fan right now. Actually, they're playing right now, but we finally did it. The Florida's up 1-0
after 1-0 Panthers.
Oh my God! Imagine if they. I'll dial it back for a second. They learned how to win, not how to not lose, which is what they've been doing this entire time. They won all three games in Tampa. In overtime, big comebacks. They proved that this team is different. 4-1. It was 4-1 has a different meaning now. All that is, all those monkeys are off our backs. That Boston game, like, that's what I'm talking about with that 4-1 third period. Whole new meaning. This team is different. We're going to win the fucking cup.
Brother, what I say?
Yeah.
What I say?
I know what you said.
One game at a time. One game at a time. Okay. Also, Jack, did you notice historically he said the Leafs have done this thing where they just don't lose. They not lose is what they do, and that's not what they did in this series. Pretty sure historically all they did was lose.
No.
I was trying to say they're always playing to not lose. This series they decided we're playing to fucking win. They played so much more aggressive throughout that entire game. Like, you could just tell that instead of playing back. And even Keefe, I talked about Justin Hall, he needs to come out of the lineup. For that game, he not only took out Justin Hall, but he also took out two other guys, which that usually doesn't happen in a playoff game, like that drastic of changes, and he did it, and it fucking worked.
Is the difference between this team and teams in the past, the manager, coach, what do they call him? Skipper?
Skipper. He just made better, like, adjustments, I guess. But no, it's been the same coach and the same GM pretty much. There was a coaching change in between those 7 years about halfway through, but I wouldn't put it on that fully. Austin Matthews, after the game, everyone celebrating in the background. The reporter, they're on the ice with him, just stoic. We're worried about Boston or Florida now. Like, it's on to the next one. I'm like, this guy's the fucking GOAT. We're going to win. We're going to win.
Unlike Eagleson. But as I said, the fans should celebrate and not, they don't need to stay locked in. The players need to stay locked in. Do your celebrating, drink some beers.
We will.
Congratulations. We will see you in round two. Amazing, amazing stuff.
I'll let you know, Eagles. I know I told you about the second round a lot. It's not the best place to be. I'm just letting you know.
I've heard that.
It's over not these that past few fun. Years on the podcast. It's really not that fun.
Yeah. I'm hoping that can go differently than it's gone for the Sixers the past few years.
Maybe it's just the
year. I hope Embiid's okay. I'm cheering for you too, Abe.
Fuck yeah.
Let's go.
Because Jack has been so sarcastically, because he got caught in a shitty take saying that, oh, I really hope Joel's knee is elevated right now. Jack, you're such a scumbag. It's actually impressive.
I mean, we'll call a full timeout here. You're the one who twisted my words.
I didn't twist any words.
Yes, you did. Yes, you
Eagleson,
did.
Did Jack not say last episode that Giannis doesn't have enough help?
That's not what I said.
I don't know if that's what he said exactly. We'll have to check the tape on that. Like, exactly what he said.
Thank you.
Check the tape, Thank though. Check
but
the,
in the midst of Jack and I arguing in the background about that take, he also admitted that James Harden is a star and Drew Holiday isn't. So you take it in and go and leave it, you know?
The setup by me was nice. We'll see how that star plays tomorrow night.
Let's go! Right.
Let's go!
Game one.
Second round.
Game one of round two.
Look at us, boys.
Both of you guys.
The Paul Reed meme. Look at us. A bunch of second round boys.
Well, we're down 0-1. But still feeling good over here. Still feeling good.
Dude, we're tied 0-0 right. And we're feeling worse than you are.
That's true. Congratulations to the Leafs. Congrats to the Eagles on a great draft. Congratulations to all of our draft pod peeps. And we will... Abe, when do you leave on Wednesday?
Yeah, if anyone is in Denver and wants to hang out, I'll be in Denver from Wednesday to Saturday. We'll get a pod going out at some point, maybe if I have to in the hotel. If anyone has any Denver recs, places I got to hit, restaurants I got to hit, good places for... What's Denver known for? Other than Vorp and Raptor. Altitude. So if anyone wants to breathe oxygen with me, hit me up.
Isn't there some weird thing with the Denver airport?
Lack thereof. Yes.
Denver airport?
Yo, Abe, you should actually,
like, I've heard about that.
You should hit a little grass and do some YouTube of the Denver airport. Some really cool conspiracy theories on it.
Okay. Like,
actually, some
like
pretty
ones that might
crazy
scare me.
Ones. Yeah. I don't know if they'll like freak you out, but like so real. One of those where it's like, it like, wait, this is real. Like, what's going on here? But I don't think it'll necessarily.
If I wear a GoPro, can you have your editors put something together? Abe cracks Denver.
You're not actually.
Theories?
I don't think you're going to be able to get to where the conspiracies happen because they've covered them up.
Sounds like a challenge.
Conspiracy. All right, fam. Have an amazing week. We will talk to you all later this week. Much love. Peace.
Go Cats.